In the second episode of this series, we talk about navigating cultural complexity. Did you know that there are over 3,000 tribes on the African continent? It is therefore essential that we grow our cultural intelligence and aspire to master cultural complexity within the business context. We will hear from Africa Mhlophe, a pastor, public speaker, and author. Africa has a passion for helping African Christians to grasp what it truly means to follow Jesus against the backdrop of traditional beliefs and culture. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
My name is Africa Mhlophe. I hail from Eqebega, formerly known as Port Elizabeth. I married with two children. Son is 12. My daughter is 9. I'm a minister of the gospel, but also I'm an author of 3 books. My first book is Christianity and the Veneration of Ancestors, followed up by ones called Freed by God, but Imprisoned by Culture. And my latest is A Passion for Position. So the books basically deal with what I call contemporary and contentious issues, difficult conversations that need to be heard from a biblical perspective. So I like to find myself weighing into difficult conversations and using the Word of God to answer questions that we have and how do we navigate difficult spaces. We have to sort of make ourselves understand first before we make others understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We come from a background where we believed in Jesus, but always more an abstract understanding of Christ. He existed as a theory, but now he must become real. The Word must become flesh. So the incarnation or the reality of Christ in our hearts should change us from inside out. That means there's no real Christianity that doesn't impact culture. Christianity is devoid or doesn't influence a person's culture, way of life, values, principles, then it's not real true faith. Dealing with cultural diversity within the business context is very important, especially in Africa. We've got about 3,000 different tribes in the continent. We're the most ethnically diverse place on earth. Now, we've been raised to believe that diversity is a strength. However, the practical understanding or experience we have is to show that diversity has become a divisive issue. And everyone comes into the space with what they consider to be truth. And culture is seen by many people to be sacrosanct, to be untouchable, to be beyond scrutiny, sometimes even by God. And you will see it by the way they project themselves, the things they value, they prioritize, their principles, their beliefs. So you look at how people view the world around them. And then you ask yourself a question. There is a cultural diversity in front of us. What are we trying to do with it? It's not just about knowing it. There has to be a desire to bring people into a higher preeminent system that is preeminent, that's above our ethnic or socially constructed ideas. We also have a culture in the business that we're trying to inculcate in terms of what this business is about. What are we trying to achieve? So there's a way of life here in this business. And it has to be preeminent for it to be impactful. So when people are in the business, they have to sort of let go of part of, there has to be a trade-off. Now, how does a business person sell that? They have to make people buy into, because people are never going to trade off unless they've bought into something that they feel is more valuable. So they must feel a sense of ownership of the vision of the business. So if the business project brings to us something we think is valuable, amazing experience of having to interact with different ways of life, like, say, traveling to a country called Estonia, which is close to Russia, and seeing a culture that's different there. In the church, we hardly think of him as Lord. He's Lord and Savior. Now, the word Lord is a Greek word, kurios, which means master. Lordship requires that subjects submit. So when somebody is Lord, everybody else is a subject. Now, if there's a king in a kingdom, subjects don't make rules. They submit to the rules of the king. So you can't have a kingdom that has subjects making rules. Only the king makes decrees and everybody subjects. So if we're truly in the kingdom, not around the kingdom, but if we are in the kingdom, then we are subject to the dictates of the king. And so by its nature, if there's a moral standard that is set, the tone of that standard is set by the moral authority of that domain. So the moral authority of the kingdom is God. So every moral standard has the one who enforces and sets the standard. And for us, it is God. So we don't make truth, we discover truth. The reason why we continue to struggle to submit to kingdom principles is because we have not taken on the invitation to come and die. Boast about what we have, we're also boasting inadvertently with what we don't have. Just we don't know that. We say, oh, yeah, I'm African club, I'm this, I'm that. I'm also inadvertently saying something about what I don't necessarily see. I don't see my poverty of God. That's why then I hold on to temporal stuff because I don't see the eternal. When I have a view of the eternal, all the temporal stuff is insignificant. Businesses, because of their very nature, for profit and all of that, they have to think through about that very carefully. We have to think about, like we have chaplains in the military and the police, we have to think through if we shouldn't have a champion in business, like we have a human resource manager, if we shouldn't have a person in business whose sole responsibility is to be a person who checks the temperature of the faith and maintain a temperature, which means this person has to learn skills of conflict resolution, skills of knowing how to navigate, because the CEO may not have the time. It's good for the CEO to have those skills. That person should be a strong believer, because that person is not going to resolve conflict using just earthly tools, which often also contribute to the conflict. They will be peacemakers. And the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, a peacemaker is needed when there's conflict to make peace. And it's just never called us peacekeepers. That means he requires us. He knew we were going to experience conflict. That's why he called us peacemakers, right? We have a minister of reconciliation, which means we have to be where conflict is for our faith to be visible. And so we have to, therefore, come into business setup knowing that there's going to be conflict. So when in business we are committed to use business as a tool to advance the kingdom, not just to make profit, then we're always going to make sure that the underlying factor in business is the kingdom of God and its values. Now, we have different skills in life. We have intellectual abilities and skills and talents and whatever, but we obviously need emotional quotient, the ability to empathize, the ability to connect people at the heart level. Now, those things are learned, but for a believer, they're not only learned, but they're also taught. They're taught and caught. So when we have the Spirit of God in us, even the things we have not learned in terms of skills, we haven't been exposed to it, we can catch them because of the heart of the Spirit. No one could argue that Jesus had everything, but he never went to any university. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He could talk to him at the level on which he is. The Pharisees, there was no level he could not reach because he connected at the heart level, not at the head level. Head level is knowledge. Heart level is wisdom. When I touch you at your heart, I touch you deeply. I would think that business needs to invest in seeing the kingdom of God as a real entity that must permeate business. And that seeing, I was saying to one company, participant, I said, you need perhaps to look at peer educators, key employees around that you want to throw around at so and different parts of the departments of the company that you mentor and disciple. So they become the influencers within the company space. We don't want to have high turnover of keep having people leave the work because of ill-discipline. So how do we invest in a few people who become peer educators or peer influencers in the company who are going to probably want to allow this cascade down to their colleagues, you know, and encourage people to do some small things 5 minutes before we start work, just open in prayer and just to start our day, encourage small things. And obviously honor people. Culture of honor is important. People's birthdays, people's anniversary, even if nothing big is done, but to acknowledge a person. Hey, so-and-so's birthday today. And we're just seeing something. Just that thing of acknowledgement, appreciation. Everyone should feel that their contribution in the business is worth something, that they can bring something worthwhile. Look, in South Africa context, people come, you know, we almost, sometimes people feel like they're almost part of the machinery. They almost feel like they're just hands. They're not hearts. So we need to make people feel more about what they're doing and what they're achieving and what it's doing, and show them the whole value chain, the products, where they're going, people it's reaching, and the impact our products are going, and show them the whole thing and make them feel excited about where this thing is going, what is it doing, and I think it's important. I find it very difficult to try and influence people at the same time, at the same level. For instance, when I get into a discussion and I find that there's a group that I'm engaging with and there's a mob spirit, and I'm going to pull away because it's very ineffective. So I always found that you must take people as individuals and call them aside and engage with them. Because people sometimes they feed on each other. I would say then the company owner should identify the sparks of light in the company that God is always at work, while ours is to find where he's working. Okay, he's working there. So let me work where God is working. So God is already connecting people. And so those people who are being honest or arriving and work on time and trying to do their work well, you know, without even supervision, we must look for those people. It's how do we invest more in these people? And let's reward that kind of values. Let's reward them publicly. And so people see we're rewarding honesty. We're rewarding diligence. You know, people should be given promotion where possible and opportunities to grow and aspire to be more. And we should see in that. We should, and of course, reward is not only material in terms of higher incomes, but we should not just reward skill. We should reward character, because we have sometimes lots of skill, but less, not a lot of character. So we should be seen to be valuing honesty, integrity, and things like that, and celebrating that, making others know that, you know, this person is rewarded for that or that. One of the things that creates division at work is when the senior leaders have factions and there are people that they have closer to them compared to others. That creates division. There's us and them kind of thing. And if you want to break, one of the things that break division, especially racially, is to make sure that you don't build a senior team that does not include the diverse cultures that exist in the company. Because you don't have somebody whispering to your ear what that group thinks. And until you reach them where they are, to take people to where they must go, you must go to where they are to take them there. You know, God had took Moses out of Egypt, into the wilderness, back to Egypt. The Israelites were in Egypt, so he had to go back to Egypt. He couldn't prophesy them out of Egypt or something. He had to go and confront Pharaoh. He had to go and do something that was very frightening for him to do, to get the people out into the promised land. Leadership is about people. Management is about systems. Dealing with people here, fragile. So there has to be, besides the vision of the company, where we are going, there has to be a pastoral skill. So where a leader realized that a person who knows how to bring people from there to here. And that's why Moses had an Aaron, the spokesperson. So the clash of worldviews consists of a time, place where we don't have a biblical worldview. We don't have a worldview that is defined by the master. It's defined by the social context. So we have a theology from beneath instead of a theology from above. So our theological perspective is influenced by our social context rather than the theology defining the context defines the theology. So a biblical worldview is a worldview that is, as it calls it, biblical worldview. It's based on the centrality of Scripture, the truth of Scripture. As much as I know there are different interpretations of Scripture, and all those are caused by, again, confirmation bias, they're caused by preconceived concepts and truth. When we come to the Bible to discover, not to confirm what we know, but to discover knowledge, the question is to how do I identify myself? Am I identifying myself primarily as a black person, or identify myself primarily as a child of God? And so I've made the point that if I see myself primarily as black, then I must see another person as primarily as white, then the other rather than as a brother. So however I see myself determines how I see somebody else. And so therefore, if I'm defined as Christ sees me from the God's vantage point, then I have no choice but to see things as he sees them, which is how he defines truth. So there should be no clash of worldviews when we settle on the common ground in terms of the Bible.
In the next episode of this series, we'll be listening to Gideon Galloway on orchestrating creativity in one's business. Gideon is the CEO of King Price Insurance, a company known for its alternative approach to insurance and a creative, fun-filled corporate culture. If you are enjoying this series, why don't you journey with other business leaders in our exchange groups as they explore each topic together? Visit our website and click on the community page to find your tribe.